All right, let's get our Bibles out tonight. Philippians chapter number 4. I'm glad you're here tonight. Pray that service is an encouragement to you. Again, I asked earlier, there were a lot less people in here when I asked the first time. Anybody lose a set of glasses? Maybe your kids? They look a little, the distance from here to here is, not saying that the person has a small head. All right, and pastors that I had, those are my glasses. Anyways, anybody's? They seem nice. They're metal, black, satin black. They're what?
They're black.
They look black. Could these be yours? No. All right. You can't see them. Worst thing about losing your glasses is you can't find them. I'm telling you. I'm going to leave these up here. They are definitely prescription. These are not like... just like to make it look good. These are not readers. These are to see the craters on the moon with this. So there's some power behind these ones. I'm just letting you know. Maybe you give them a try. Some people might be a help to some of you. Again, good to be here tonight. Glad you're here. Speaking of something tonight that... on Wednesday nights, try and bring a message that'll just help you get through the week. Sometimes we come in midweek and it's like, whew, it's been a rough few days. Maybe things are going good and you're looking ahead and you're not quite sure where things are. I always try and just bring something practical to you on a Wednesday night and just meet you where you're at. And I pray that tonight would be just that for you tonight. Let's pray, and then we'll again look at some verses here. Heavenly Father, we ask that you meet with us here tonight. And God, there are needs because there are people. And Lord, we are needy people. And you designed us that way. You designed us to come to you with our cares and burdens. And again, Lord, forgive us for trying to carry those things on our own. Lord, it's good to know that we have a friend in you. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless the message here tonight, that it again would strengthen and mourn the believer. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, some of these requests that we brought up tonight were medical requests. And, you know, whether it's an eye condition or maybe cancer or heart conditions or lung or, you know, kidneys and all of that. And if you've ever gone to the doctor, you go and for the most part, they try to diagnose the problem and then send you home with a remedy or at least, okay, here's your problem. That's not what I do, but I'll send you to a specialist, right? They'll get you to at least before somebody that knows a little bit more. And there you sit down and sometimes the... procedures are pretty invasive. Miss Maria there over at Top, she called me again this week, and she's back in the hospital. Infection's back in her legs, and I'm really concerned about her that she might lose a leg or two. And you pray for her, and you look at that and go, oh, that's the prognosis. If we don't stop the infection, then you could die. So we're going to remove a leg or something like that. Well, spiritually speaking, there is a disease that attacks us all. It grows inside and it seizes control of our hearts. It is not listed in any medical book, and no doctor can prescribe medicine in curing it. And people from every place in life are prone to this illness, whether you're rich or poor, you're born in the United States or you're born in Europe or wherever it is. If you're human, you're going to struggle with this. And the only cure is God's cure for it. Say, what is the disease? What is the problem? It's discontentment. It's not being content with the things that you have. Say, well, if that's the problem, just like the doctor, I go to the doctor, I say, I have this ailment. He gives me these pills. He gives me this prognosis and says, okay, here's what you got to do. Your blood pressure's high. You got to start eating more oatmeal. You might want to get a walk in here and there, cut off some of the salts, right? And if that doesn't work, you're going to start taking these pills. All right, there we go. Well, what's the answer? If my disease is discontentment, what is the cure? God's grace. God's grace. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want. Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak in respect of want. Again, I encourage you to underline things in your scriptures. Why? Because it makes it stand out. It gives it a little point to it. Those next four words are very important. For I have learned. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Hey, I'm here to tell you, contentment is not natural. We are not born content. We're actually born discontent. Our fleshly nature, our natural man says, I want more. This isn't enough. So there's something we have to learn. To learn to be content. It's something we try and teach our children. It's something that we ourselves need to learn. If you're missing out on the lesson of instruction on contentment, I'm telling you, you're going to be miserable. Your mind won't be in the right place. Your heart won't be in the right place. Say, oh, I'm content. I have plenty of stuff. Misguided contentment. That's what that is. Maybe you think, if I get more things, then I'll be content. That's a lie. No, I have a quiet disposition. Misguided contentment. Paul says in Philippians chapter number 3 and verse 13, probably just a page back, brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Hey, there's Paul says, I can cut out some of the worry and I can look forward to, try and encourage people. Hey, don't get caught up with the past and don't be so overtaken by guilt and separate yourself from those and understand that God's got a plan for you, but understand, just having a good disposition doesn't rid you from discontentment. Well, I'm just not a worrier. I'm not an anxious person. I don't struggle with anxiety. Therefore, I'm content. No, not so. Well, I don't compare myself among ourselves. The Bible tells me that's not wise, and I don't do that. So therefore, I must not be discontent. Although all of those things are good things, they do not reach the core issue. If those things were the problem, then, well, I would just, if I have a bad disposition, I just need a better personality. Personality is not the root of contentment. An easygoing person struggles with discontentment the same as an ambitious person does. He's a real go-getter. He must be content. No. Oh, they're pretty laid back. They're calm. They must be content. Not so. Contentment is not gained by a lack of worry. Paul says that, look at chapter number 4, look at verse 12. He says this, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul abounded. What does that mean? That means having a bunch. I signed a lot of my emails or letters abounding in the work. Why? Because you're involved in the things that God it's over above how wonderful it is to serve the Lord. And that's how we ought to live in faith, right? Abounding. And he says, I've lived abounding. Then why in the verse right before did it say, I had to learn how to be content? Because that tells me it's not the things or the lack of things that produces contentment. Even when things are going well, this contentment can grab a hold of our heart. Power, wealth, ease, comfort cannot bring contentment. If you've had an opportunity to travel at all throughout the world, if you've had an opportunity to cross borders and get on a plane and go to another place, you'll know that this is a pretty rich land that we live in. You'll know that the amenities that we have, we don't just have water, we have clean water. And most of you have unending water. I live on a well and it goes dry. So you're a little discontent. No, it's all right. Not only do you have water, not only do you have clean water, you have hot water. You go some places, if the water's there, it's cold. And it's shower time. And whew, man, you want to get the kids through the shower quick. Just turn off the hot. We have Wegmans, Aldi's, Walmart, Tops, Save-A-Lot. Am I missing some? Dollar General on every corner. The corners that don't have Dollar General, we got Walgreens. And we are very far from poverty. If you've had a chance to travel a little bit, you've seen hungry people. They'd eat once a day. Health standards 100 years ago. 200 years ago. To deal with a headache, they'd bleed you. Man, I'm thankful for ibuprofen. Can I tell you? A little cup of coffee should fix any headache. Well, Excedrin or something. I'm glad I don't have to cut a hole in my arm to make my headache go away. I'm thankful for the treatments that they have. An MRI machine, somehow magnets moving really fast, if I lay really still, can see everything inside my body. They have cameras that can go down our throat and check out what's going on the inside. They don't have to cut us open. Sure, it costs $65,000, but they can do it. You tell the guy that whose heart got carved up trying to figure out what's going on, he would have paid $65,000. Our health standards from now then to 100 years ago, let's compare those things. Again, we live in the richest nation in the world. Then why on earth are we so discontent? Because contentment doesn't come from stuff. In my driveway, we have 8 people that live in our house. There's 5 vehicles. 4 of which are Hondas. How about that? So that's too bad. I'm sorry. Well, it works for us. But this generation should be better off than most people who have ever lived. Yet there is still no satisfaction with what one has. But instead, a desire for what? More. Because stuff doesn't produce contentment. The problem is discontentment in our heart. The answer, the cure, is God's grace. Amen. The true source. Contentment comes from God alone, and not from our circumstances either. Again, I've traveled. My second trip to Mexico, saw kids at the church, Every time I saw them, they wore the exact same outfit. Every single time. That was their church outfit. I saw them probably 4 to 5 services, and they had the same outfit on every single time. It's easy to pick people out. You know who they are. Could you imagine wearing the same thing to church? I would never. Go into your closet. What does it look like? Is this the weekday shirt? And then this is the Sunday shirt? No, these are the Sunday shirts. Sunday pants. Yet we're still without contentment. Contentment is understanding. Contentment is understanding and accepting that God has provided everything I need for adjusting the circumstances around me. Contentment doesn't come from the bank, doesn't come from the store, it comes from heaven to earth. God's throne directly to you. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. This verse is a very special verse. Say, is this your life verse? No. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, it says in verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Know whose life verse that is? Matthew Seatman. Read that again. My grace is sufficient. That's a young boy that, since he was 13, has been battling Crohn's. Doesn't have a large intestine, is that right? And part of his small intestine. He's been in and out of the hospital more times than you can count. His face is swollen right now because he's on prednisone, and the doctors can't figure out what's going on. And his life verse is, my grace is sufficient for thee. How is that young man content? Because he's depending on God's grace. Why aren't we content? Because we're not depending on God's grace. The true source of contentment you will never find in this world. It comes right from God Himself. The way in which that comes is prayer. Prayer brings us before the one who can satisfy us. Prayer strikes directly at discontentment. Why is that? Because what is prayer? It's me kneeling before God saying, I need you. These circumstances, the good, the bad, the abounding, the abased, Lord, teach me to be content. Teach me that you're all I need. That's what prayer is. I'm here to tell you tonight, God's grace is enough for you. We learn to be content when we allow the grace of God to satisfy our every desire. Back to Philippians chapter number 4, and we're almost done. Again, our contentment verse is verse 11. And verse 10, it says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Hey, when we rest on the Lord, when God's grace is enough, you know what there is? There's joy. Because, again, the contentment isn't from things. Because things come and go. God never goes. That's why Paul, whether he's in prison, whether he's abounding, he has joy. Why? Because he's got the grace of God. Look at verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. God supplies joy and strength in the midst of trials. So much so, look at verse 23. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Why? Because that's the answer. God's grace. God's grace satisfies the thirsty soul. A lesson we all need to learn. The last verse I'd like to show you is Proverbs chapter number 19. Working with some students this week, I love when they come up to my office, Pastor, sometimes Dad, can you help me with my geometry? Sure, love to. I love it. It's like math puzzles to me. I enjoy it. And they're learning concepts. Pastor, could you use some help today? I'm missing this lesson of contentment. Hey, let's go before the throne of God together in prayer. Because the answer to this problem is His grace. That's the answer. I'm struggling with contentment in my heart. Well, you've lost the value of God's grace. You think you need something else other than God. Proverbs 19:23 says, "The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied." When was the last time that you could say about your own soul, "I am satisfied"? I'm not talking about Thanksgiving satisfied, like within your heart. God, you're all I got, and you're all I need. Is there any greater feeling than that? Is there any greater thought than just being dependent and satisfied with God's grace? No. The rest of the time, you'll just take chasing. Chasing a thing that God so simply provides through Himself. I want joy. I want to see the might of God. I need the strength of God. I want to be content. And then we go chasing after what the world offers. No, no. No, just come humbly before God through prayer. God, you're the only thing I need, and I need all of you. My grace is sufficient for thee. God's grace is enough. Let's all stand. I'm not saying this weekend you have a garage sale and you just get rid of everything. What I am saying is that you spend some time just praying and talking to the Lord and seeking His grace and strength and help in time of need. If we got serious about a relationship with the Lord, I think we'd be much more content with how God or where God has us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. And God, thank you for this reminder. Thank you for this warning. Thank you for the solution and the cure. And Lord, we come to you humbly, needy of your grace. Lord, we know it's enough. Lord, forgive us for trying to satisfy our souls with anything else. God, I ask you watch over us tonight and protect us as we travel home. Lord, I pray for those, again, names that have been brought up here. And thank you for little Faith Rosenbaum and all the people she's invited, and friends and family that have been given invitations and hopes that they would come into the church house, not to fill a seat, but to hear about your simple plan of salvation, to change the course of their eternity. God, we need you more than ever before. Again, I pray you'd be with these needs, but Lord, pray that you'd help us to just come to you. Watch over us now. Again, protect us as we travel home. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a good night.